LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 593. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, co-host of the show, you start with Pete Rock. Pete,
what is up?
What's up, man? What's going on with you, man?
I'm doing all right. It's been a much better weekend after the last couple of weeks, but yeah, I'm anxious and hype. A lot of games to play. Been playing Attack on Titan. We'll do a review later this after, you know, later in the show. But yeah, it's been a fun time to be a gamer now. It's getting to become that It's almost September, which means games.
Yeah, I got better playing Titanfall 2, a lot better, and plays better, which I hope we could talk about that later on, too.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that later, too.
Yeah, cool. And also, Paris is here. What's up, Paris?
You know, I should have went to DestinyCon. It's wrapping up as we record this right now. Shout out to my friends over at Guardian Radio. They put out their new logo. They had their booth. They did the podcast panel. There was a YouTube panel there. I was kind of peeping it all weekend. I should have went. And it was in Tampa, which is home. So I should have went. I'm going next year.
Yeah. You know, I'll go with you guys if you plan to go over there. Even if I don't play much Destiny like you guys, but I'll go. My cousin's over there actually supporting the event, so that's cool. I heard about that. Was it a lot of people? A lot of people attended?
Yeah. Just watching some of the Twitch streams. I mean, it looked like there was a lot of people there, and they've already confirmed they're going to do it again in Tampa next year. So,
oh, snap. Okay. Yeah. We should definitely get the organizers on our show.
And on top of on top of that, they've raised $500,000 for St. Jude.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like the Destiny community as a whole raised over $500,000 in less than a week. I mean, that's so impressive. I mean,
and is that without the support of Bungie and Activision?
Yep, without their support. I mean, like, I know Cosmo, which is one of the community managers from Bungie. Commanders. He's there unofficially, just at DestinyCon. There's something about the fact that they're calling it DestinyCon. I think something legally, Bungie can't be officially involved or something. I was reading and I heard they may be changing the name so that Bungie can be more officially involved down the road, which is cool. But, you know, that just shows you the power. Forget the game. Forget all that. That shows you the power of our gaming community as a whole, that all these people that have rallied around one particular game got together and they supported a good cause. I mean, and we're talking globally here. This isn't just the United States. Globally, they all got together and raised $500,000. You know, for a good cause. So it's, you know, props to them, man.
That's awesome, man. Props to them. So we're going to talk about a lot of things. We have voicemails. P has a review. But we're going to start with this. No Man's Sky. More drama with the game. Wow. Paris, what's going on, man? Because it's been drama every week since the game launched.
Well, the latest is that people on Steam and on PlayStation 4, ironically enough, are getting refunds for the game. I don't know so much about the reasoning on PlayStation 4, because everything I've heard is it's been mostly bug free. I mean, they've obviously been patching it and things like that. I talked about last week what I saw firsthand on the PC side, but I guess Steam has a policy that you can get a refund on any game you buy from Steam if you have less than 2 hours of gameplay time. Well, No Man's Sky has been an exception to that rule, similar to Arkham Knight was last year, where people have played more than 2 hours and Steam has been giving them refunds just due to all the bugs that have been happening on the game, which I'm personally okay with. And I said as much on Twitter last night, and a friend of ours who's on the other side of the fence, you know, on the publisher side for nameless publisher, I won't say, but he argued differently, that giving refunds will do more harm than good, because what he's saying is, and it, trust me, I totally get what he's saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I get what he's saying, that you're just opening the gates to people getting refunds for no reason. And you're adding to the bad word of mouth to the game. And we all know, we all agree, Hello Games took a risk with this. It's a very ambitious project. And like he mentioned, it is almost impossible to 100% QA a game of this scope, in that it is dynamically generating all these planets and animals and all that. You're not going to be able to account for every scenario in a QA lab, which I get. But like he's saying, the fact that you've opened the floodgates to just mass refunds, you're getting people that have put 20, 30 hours into the game and then decide, I'm just going to get my money back. So now the publisher and the developer are not getting rewarded for all the hard work that they put in to create this game. And look, I think this, and I know a lot of other people think this, we'll have a conversation about No Man's Sky a year from now. It'll be a completely different game. Right. They'll fix all these issues. We'll see improvements to it. And it'll probably be, and I'm using the D word again, probably be similar to Destiny, that by the time The Taken King came out a year later, a lot of the issues people had at launch were resolved. And hopefully similar with The Division. I know they're delaying their DLC, you know, to fix some of their issues as well. And that's kind of the world we're in right now, where we do need to show some patience with new IPs and new these developers trying new things. They're not going to be 100% perfect day one. And look, I'm not saying I'll never play No Man's Sky. I just know I don't want to play it right now, because I want to sit it out and see what's going on, which goes back to my point. I've obviously kept up on the news. I purposely took a wait and see attitude, because I didn't want to invest my $60 into it day one, because I kind of anticipated these type of issues with this kind of game. But the average consumer doesn't, they're not going to do that. They're going to see all the marketing hype and all the interviews. Hey, this is great. And all, you're going to see freaking dinosaurs like it's the Flintstones on Planet Zemo and all this stuff. Right. And they go pick it up day one, and then it has these issues, and then they're disappointed. So they want their money back. I think the average consumer should get their money back in that scenario with. And then it's up to the publisher and the developers to continue to market the game, to let the average consumer know that we fixed these issues. Please come back. You know what I mean?
Case of too late, though? Because I mean, we're talking 2 weeks. Yeah. They've lost 85% of their player base, and they're plagued by these issues. They're giving out refunds. Even to now, now there's that other part where people who have named their planets and things like that in solar system, after 2 weeks, that information gets deleted from the database, because Hello Games felt that type of information was clogging up its databases and they weren't
that
optimized.
Makes no sense.
You know, that makes no sense. That takes away a lot of the ownership of a player. Yep. Going into a game like this, where you can go and discover the universe and find a planet in a solar system and name it whatever you want, like name it Harambe, and then get to the planet 2 weeks later and it's gone. Like all of that effort that you put in to look for something, mm-hmm. and make it unique and make it yours is then gone.
And here's the issue with this too. You're saying this, Paris, that next year this is going to be a completely better and everything, but all this bad press has been getting for the past few weeks, they're not going to care next year because.
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree. 100% agree that's the issue. People aren't going to care a year from now when the game will probably be in a really good place. Even 6 months from now, the game could be in a really good place. All the buzz, everything is gone. You know what I mean? But that goes back to the point. So I don't think it's fair to, as a consumer, have me spend my $60 on a promise that you made to me. I said promise is broken, and then I'm not supposed to get my money back because that's not how the system works. I don't know about that, because then you're really going to tell the average consumer, and I've already learned this lesson from Arkham Knight last year, wait. If you're not 100% sure, wait. Do not buy a game day one. And that's really been my philosophy in the last, you know, 10 to 12 months. I don't buy games day one anymore. I really don't. I always take a wait and see approach. Now, look, full disclosure, we get review codes and things. So, I mean, you know, I'm not the typical case. But if I'm going to go to a store and spend $60, it's a rare occurrence at this point that I'll spend that money. I'll give you a perfect example.
Go for it.
We may get review codes for Titanfall 2, but if we don't, I'm going to wait. I won't get it day one. And the reason why is because of the split opinions that I've been seeing in social media. That is a factor now. It just is. You know what I mean? It's look, I feel that, yeah, of course, I'm going to like Titanfall 2 and it's fun. Beta's been fun, things like that. But then I also see the other side with the complaints that people are having. It's not necessarily the game that we had 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever Titanfall 1 came out. So maybe I should wait. You know what I mean? And when I say wait, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm waiting a month. Let the game come out. Let's see some reviews. Let's see what people are saying on social media, which means give it a few days. Then I'll go get it. You know what
now,
I mean?
So here's the thing, though, Paris. What if this was the new expansion pack of Destiny or Destiny 2? Will you do the same for that game, too? Because I feel that maybe you are a fan of that game, maybe you are gonna buy it like right away, day one, midnight, instead of waiting. Also, too,
here's the difference. I think, because I was actually gonna bring Destiny into it too. I think the difference with that one is I'm so invested at this point that I would there's that sense of urgency that you want to be there day one when the new expansions come out, right? Because you want to be one of the first people to experience these things and be able to talk about them without them being spoiled. Now, I'll say with caveat to that, let's just say Rise of Iron, which is about to come out. I've already thrown my coin purse at it. I'm getting it day one. Mm-hmm. If it's a disappointment to me, like I feel like I'm not getting what I expect out of it, you know, just from past Destiny, then when Destiny 2 comes out, I would take the stance of, I'm not sure I want to get this day one. I'm going to wait.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? Because at this point, I'm already invested enough that I'm going to keep just blind buying because they already got me locked into their ecosystem.
So my question to you, Paris, now that you've given Arkham Knight the time it's needed to get, you know, to get put back in the oven and brought back to that golden brown freshness, have you gone back to it?
Yes, because it's okay. Because now it works. And okay. But here's the funny thing. If I could have gotten a refund, I would have. But the way I bought the game, it was outside of Steam, so I couldn't have gotten a refund. Mm-hmm. So I was basically stuck into keeping the game. So I'm like, well, I've already spent my money. I might as well give it another chance now. And that's what I mean. That's what the other side of the argument is, that if you can't get a refund, then eventually you will go back to it. But I think that's anti-consumerism, in my opinion. I don't think you should be, just because you bought a digital copy of a game, you shouldn't be allowed to get some type of value back for it because it doesn't work when you bought it. Don't tell me I need to wait 6, 8, 9 months to eventually play a game because you fixed all the bugs into it. If it doesn't work day one, then I should have the option to get my money back on it. And then I decide when I want to revisit it.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like, what was the point on releasing a game if it's buggy? You know, it just looks bad. And then more and more people are going to complain. Less people are going to buy the game on day one. They are just going to wait to see if, based on the reviews and feedback from the gaming community. So what is the point of releasing games like this, man? It just doesn't make no sense.
I agree. And like I said, I do see the other side, the other point of view. And I agree with what our friend was saying as far as it's impossible to QA a game like this being so ambitious. Here's what they should have done. They should have put out a beta. They should have had a public beta and let people explore and put it out there. Look, all the things that you're going to do right now, it's to help us test this game. It's to help us fix bugs. The planets you discover, the things that you see will be wiped. You won't be able to keep these things because this is a beta to help us make this game better when we officially launch it and we want your money. Similar to what Respawn is doing right now with Titanfall 2. And I know we'll get into that a little bit later. Mm. They're putting this out so that they can hear what the community is saying, so they can fix these issues so that it's okay day one. You know what I mean?
Here's the issue, though, Paris. The thing is, Hello Games is a very small company compared to Respawn. Respawn have hundreds of employees.
Sony isn't.
So Hello Sony, Games is a very short, it's a small company.
Sony man. Isn't. Sony's the one that's being the publisher for this. They're the one that, that's
backing
this. Yeah,
they're being the publisher. They're being the publisher, but not
the developer.
Danny, my point is this. Sony, then Hello Games and Sony needs to partner up and provide resources to Hello Games to be able to QA the game. That's all I'm saying. And that's why you do a public beta. That's why Hello Games is scrambling right now with the assistance of Sony to try and patch the hell out of this game so that they don't have these issues, so that they can continue to sell it and make money. My point is, if you did this 2 months ago and you let people beta test it and everyone's up in arms screaming about this is broken, that's broken, and then you fix it and you show people that it's fixed when it actually launches, then you don't have to worry about this. That's all I'm saying.
So here's the thing, because Danny's going with the, well, they're a small indie company. You've got a game like Elite Dangerous, same kind of concept where it's space travel exploration. It's developed and published. It's actually self-published by Frontier Developments. They don't have the cachet and the name brand of Sony behind it to push it. They started as a Kickstarter, and they've been able to survive this with a preview version out on Xbox. They announced that, 2 years ago at E3, where people had an opportunity to check it out as a beta on Xbox Live. Actually, this was last year, I believe. But you have that opportunity to do that, and that's something that Hello Games could have done to try to mitigate some of these post-release issues, you know, just try to see what is going to work, what isn't going to work, and take that feedback and pretty much do what the Titanfalls and everybody else is doing now with these limited release tech tests to see what breaks out in the wild, so that way you don't have these major issues.
Agree, but here's a difference though, Pete. Here's a difference that I think that program is only available for Steam and also Xbox, Xbox, they launched that last year where you pay and you get like a certain amount of time. No, actually, it's free and you get like a certain amount of time for free. And then after that, you pay for the game. And then based on the feedback, they'll make some changes throughout the year or whatever. I haven't seen that with Sony, with none of the games that have been released with Sony. Unless, tell me if I'm wrong, but I've only seen that for PC and Xbox. You know, so I agree they should have done that. I think that would have been a perfect way to launch a program like that for Sony. But I mean, it just sucks that they're in a situation now that is getting bad press and people are not going to care later on. Brand new games are going to come out. Better indie games are going to come out. The new systems are going to come out and people are just going to forget about No Man's Sky by the time next year.
So are you saying that games don't get betas on PS4?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that type of program where, let's say, give a perfect example, what type of games that I downloaded. Okay, Layers of Fear. I downloaded that game on Xbox One and also on Steam before the real version came out, the retail version. So based on the feedback, they were making changes. There was updates all the time, but I got into that program. There's no type of program like that for Sony, for PlayStation gamers out there. So the only way you could get into this program is a PC and Xbox.
Okay, okay.
I would love to see that in Sony.
Okay. But see, here's the thing. I really don't care about Sony having a program like that at all in this instance. Hello Games, you can't say we're indie, but then try and act like you're a AAA and price it as such as a AAA, because then as a consumer,
let me finish, please.
What I'm saying is this. This game, despite Hello Games being a quote-unquote indie developer, has been presented to us as a AAA title, right? So that comes with the same expectation of a AAA title. You need to freaking work day one. And if you don't, you need to fix it quickly. So you can't sit here and look. And I'm not saying Hello Games is doing this, but I'm just saying that you can't scream, hey, we're indie, give us a chance, but we want $60 from you at the same time, and be patient, because we're not. Look, because here's an example. We didn't give the Order 1886 that chance, did we? We don't give other AAA games that chance, do we? No. They better work day one, or we move on. That's the point. So if this was, and look, I want more indie developers. I want more just development companies all around to take these kind of risks. I want them to be ambitious this way. But the point is, if this was so ambitious that you knew there were going to be bugs that you could not foresee, should have had some kind of beta. You had the backing of Sony to be able to do this. It was in their best interest for this game to succeed as well. And like Pete said, the vast majority of the community has already abandoned this game. And like we've already said, once the holiday comes through, no one's coming back. That's just a fact. So in this instance, Hello Games to me is not an indie game. They're not Layers of Fear. You know, you don't get a chance to go through all, you know, the, what was that, Steam Greenlight and thing like that, and have people invest into you and, you know, work with you to fix out the bugs. No, you presented this to us as a AAA game, so I'm going to treat you as a AAA game, and they failed, period.
And so instead of giving full refund, do you think maybe it might behoove the industry to maybe issue a partial?
F that. You better give me all my money back. No, that's taking a partial refund because then it comes down to what is a partial refund? What is the percentage on that? Does that change game to game? I think across the board, if something's broken, look, and I'm not saying this is the way the industry working now. This, again, is still an exception to the rule. But in my opinion, if I go to the store and buy something and it's broken, I take it back to the store and I get my money back, and I won't buy it again until I know it's fixed. So why is that different with video games? That's all I'm saying.
But here's the thing. We're going to wrap up the topic. But one more thing. I don't blame Hello Games fully when it comes to that. Marketing this as a AAA, to me personally, I think that's the publisher's fault. They pushed this a way that the people will think, man, this is a AAA game coming from an independent gaming company. Even during E3, during the press conference, they were promoting it as a AAA, saving it at the end and all this stuff. You know, like, it's the publisher's fault. I don't see that as Hello Games making those moves behind the scenes. Am I right or am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not a question. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I mean, it all comes from your point of view. You know, it's your money. You vote with your wallet, right? So if I'm not happy with something and I'm being offered a refund, then I'm freaking taking it. Bottom line, that's just me.
That's all of us, Paris. We want that money back, punk. All right. So very quickly, let's talk about Titanfall 2, man. Big changes this week. It plays a lot smoother. Matchmaking is a lot faster. I even played with a couple of GTR network members. I played with them randomly. I invited them and we played online and stuff. It's been smooth, man. I like it, man. I'm liking the way how the game is being played now. So your opinion, guys, if you have the chance to play it, are you liking it so far or what?
I've been digging it. I've been digging it since last week. I didn't have that many issues short of, you know, maybe matchmaking within a party. I know on Friday when I played, you know, they had actually broken the invite system. So you had to get in separate, you know, you had to get in through your party. But, and you couldn't be in a game and just jump into people's games. You had to, like, everybody had to be back at the lobby. But other than that, man, I've had a lot of fun. I'm not seeing all of these quote unquote issues, and I'm using air quotes on a podcast, which doesn't make sense, but I'm not seeing all of the problems that everybody is complaining about on social media. And for those that have been, who aren't paying attention, you know, people are complaining about the game and lack of maps or forcing people to only have the pilot versus pilot, which, I'll be honest, I was kind of hesitant to jump into because I didn't want that type of experience. You know, it's team versus team, you know, essentially it's team deathmatch / Slayer type gameplay. I've been enjoying it. I've had a lot of fun, and I don't know what all the arguments are, or I haven't seen any credence to it to warrant all of this negativity and hate. And I don't know if it's just the internet being the internet, but I'm not understanding where all this negativity is coming towards the tech test. It's a tech test. There's supposed to be issues. You're supposed to find these. And the whole concept of this is to find the problems and let Respawn know so that they can fix them, so we don't have them come beta or come launch. That's an I think people are not using this. People are just using this as an excuse or an opportunity to play the game, but not provide any kind of feedback back to Respawn, you know. And it's that's kind of the stigma you get sometimes when you drop, you know, an opportunity like this, is some people will just play it to play it and not actually go back and try to find a way to provide this feedback over to Respawn or to whomever is releasing it to fix their game. So I'm having a fun time. If you can try to join the Gamertag Radio network. I don't know if I'm pretty sure the network will still be there when the game comes to get released.
Is it? Has that been confirmed?
I don't know. But I'd like to.
I don't think so.
Why not?
It's a tech test. It's not the actual retail game, Pete.
I understand that, but they'll still keep some of the framework, I would think. You know, these networks are designed for you to gather people that you're going to regularly play with. It's kind of like the community on PlayStation 4, where you can come up and have your community and then, you know, send it
in. We should ask, because it's not confirmed yet.
We should get Joel back on the show then. We had we had a phenomenal time with him over at E3. Congrats on the baby, by the way, too.
No, but complaining about lack of maps, first of all, come on, this is not the retail game, so it doesn't make no sense. But Pete, I'm not a fan of pilot versus pilot.
Why?
I'm not a fan of that at all. I find it boring.
Really?
Me personally, I think, yeah, I'm really not liking it. I like Bounty Hunter. Like, I love that. That's Bounty Hunter, I mean. That is exciting. That to me is a lot more fun than pilot versus pilot. So
why? I understand the positive. You know, well, give me the reason why you don't like pilot versus pilot. Not just I don't like it. Just what is it in the game that you don't like?
The thing is, to me, it doesn't feel like an actual Titanfall game
because there's no Titans.
It's trying to be, yeah. It feels like it's trying to be something else, like Call of Duty or like one of those type of games like that. It's just not my type of game mode for this game. I like the uniqueness of the Titanfall and like they say Bounty Hunter is totally something different. I just don't want Respawn to be. I know they were the original creators of Call of Duty. Some of the developers worked on that game back in the days. But just be you. Do something different that nobody else is doing. And I think they should just stick with that formula.
Well, that's the thing.
From now on. Instead of coming out with pilot versus pilot, it just feels, I don't know, weird at playing it. I'm boring. I don't like it.
It's an opportunity for other people. You're not required to drop the Titan. Sometimes you're bored with the Titan stuff and you just don't want it. And it's giving the players options. That's what you want as a gamer. I don't want to always go in and just do Titans. I don't want to always, you know, it's what's the problem with it? They're giving you an option. You don't have to play it, but there's people that are enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, people screamed for this play mode in the original Titanfall and they eventually added it. So they're just keeping it going. I it's an option. You're not being forced to play it.
Okay. That's my personal opinion, but okay. What about you, Paris? Was there anything that you like, you didn't like, or the complaints that people had that you agree?
Yeah, I haven't played a lot of it because I didn't even play the test last week, so I didn't see what people were necessarily complaining about last week. But yeah, when my son and I played a little bit yesterday, it was fun to me. You know, and I think that's what it really comes down to. I think people are being a little too nitpicky about certain features, because again, this is a tech test. They're trying to test out certain things. Obviously, the maps are going to be limited. You're not getting the full experience now in August. I mean, you're not going to get the full experience until late October. So I think people need, again, this kind of goes back to the conversation we're having before about blindly spending your $60 day one. If you're not happy with what you're seeing and you're skeptical, then don't spend your $60 day one. Wait until reviews come out and see what people think. But if you enjoyed this tech test, if you enjoy Titanfall as a whole, then you look, it's Respawn. I have faith in Respawn. So yeah, go spend your money, have fun. Because that's what it all comes down to. If you're having fun right now, then imagine in late October the fun you'll be having then. Not to mention they're coming out with a campaign for it too. You know? So I think it's fine. I don't have an issue. Like I said, with the pilot versus pilot thing, Danny, if you don't like it, avoid that playlist and play something else.
Because
this is what I think Respawn is trying to do. They're trying to give something for everyone versus making this just a hardcore first person shooter experience. They're trying to make this something that's approachable for anybody to play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the trick, you know, that all these developers are having in the shooter space right now, is how do we make this approachable for the novice to be able to jump in with the hardcore and keep everybody happy? So it's kind of what we're seeing right now. Like I said, the news this week, obviously Respawn has been very responsive to the feedback that they're getting from the community, and they're trying to answer those questions and they're trying to get them resolved and make this a good experience. So hopefully, you know, we'll get to talk to Respawn again before it launches, and we, you know, we can ask these questions too, and, you know, hopefully put some people's mind at ease about this game. But if it doesn't, like I said, don't spend your money on it. Wait.
All right, P, you have a review coming up right now, right?
Yep. We got a review of Attack on Titan from Koei Tecmo.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so Attack on Titan was developed by Omega Force. You might know them from games like One Piece, Fist of the North Star, and Dynasty Warriors. The game was published by Koei Tecmo and was originally released in February of this year in Japan, and finally gets released here in the States on August 30th, 2016. You'll be able to get it for PS4, Xbox, and PC. So, Attack on Titan follows the Season 1 storyline, but does have some lapses in the story. So, for those who weren't aware, I'll give you a quick summary of what goes on. About 100 years ago, humanity was attacked out of nowhere by titans. Titans are these predatory giants that range in size from like 10 to 50, 60 feet tall. And all they do literally is walk around and pluck humans out of the ground and just eat them. So in an effort to save themselves, there's these three giant walls, like big circular giant walls that were erected around the last human population in an effort to keep the titans out. And it worked for about 100 years. And then after that, a massive 60-foot titan appears out of nowhere and destroys that first wall, sending the population into a frenzy, and pretty much panic mode, you know, sets in. Everybody's running for cover and trying to save themselves. So the story of Attack on Titan is set over about, I want to say, a 5 to 10 year period, beginning with that first attack, where you see the main character, Eren Yeager, and his adopted sister, Mikasa, are attacked by the titans, and Eren actually sees his mother get eaten by a titan, and this pretty much sets in motion the whole story, where he vows to devote his life to ridding the planet of titans. You'll get to play as some of the main characters from the actual anime, including Eren Yeager, Mikasa, Ackerman, and even Captain Levi. Those aren't all, but I'll just give you a few of the main ones, right? So one cool feature in the game is that it actually uses the same voice actors from the anime, so you'll see a lot of you'll hear the similarities, and the game is kind of cel-shaded, similar in fact to like The Walking Dead from Telltale. There's three different types of titans. There's small, medium, and large. And those, obviously, as their name connotates, you know, that relates to the size of the actual titans. And all they do is eat humans. But then there's also abnormals. Abnormal titans are the same size titans, but they don't follow the normal behavior of just walking around, grabbing humans and eatems, and they're also a little more difficult to defeat. So to the game itself, as a member of the Garrison Regiment, you and your friends are trained to use this thing called omnidirectional mobility gear. That's a long word for it. And essentially, it's a set of gas-powered spikes that you shoot from your hips that propel you through the air. Probably the most fun part of the game for me, when combined with using them to attach two titans and use them to drive yourself to kill titans. The only way you can kill these titans is by this small part on the back of their neck. You essentially use the two blades in your hand to slice out that chunk, and that's the weak part of the titans. They will regenerate if you try to chop other parts or try to dismember other parts of the titans. So, you know, you can use those to weaken them or to bring them to the ground, but then ultimately you have to get that chunk on the back of the neck, and you do what's called a subjugation, which is where you actually kill the titan. initially gameplay controls of using and getting used to how to, you know, how to move around in the omnidirectional gear is a little bit awkward, but after you get used to it, it's some of the most mobile fun I've had in a game, period, in quite some time. As you battle throughout the game, you'll actually collect new materials to improve your weapons and skills, as well as your mobility gear. But unfortunately, the gameplay does get repetitive, and that's one of the things that's probably the negative and drawback on this game, even to the point where some of the environments and the level design goes back to the same areas you originally played in. The camera and the lock-on feature could use some work. There's times where just so many things are going on, like titans are jumping on you and buildings are crumbling, where you kind of get lost in the jumble. Sometimes the camera will pan back and you're just this little person, you know, just running around. And I'll have to admit, I'm probably a tad biased on this, as I'm a big fan of Attack on Titan in general. And even as fun as some parts of this game are, I have a little bit of difficulty justifying a full $60 price point for it. All in all, it's a fun change of pace from my normal gaming repertoire, but if you're a big AOT fan like me, I'd say get it, as it's as loyal to the story as you'll find anywhere. A lot of times they take some liberties in getting that story across, but then this pretty much follows the storyline and gives the player what they would ideally want, which is an opportunity to fly around in your ODMG and kill titans. As an outsider, I'd probably say wait for a summer sale and try and get it as a discount. So shout out to Koei Tecmo and Omega Force for sending me a code to review the game. I played it on PS4 and had some fun with it, but it does have its drawbacks. So take it back to the guys.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back, Pete. Thank you for the review.
No problem.
Great job on that.
Thank you.
You've been having a great time with this, I see.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, but like I said in the review, there's some things. So,
okay. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
In a world where three men talk about fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so we have a couple of voicemails here. So I think we're going to play. Let's talk about this because this is coming up right now. This voicemail is from Damien. Check it out.
Game Attack Radio was good. This is Damien, a.k.a. the guy who asked the question about the NX like 4 months ago and the hell, even though I was speaking at like 18 million words a second. I'm going to try to calm down a bit this time, but this is a bit ranty. I'm sure you guys know. I know you guys know because I heard about it from y'all. I saw the images of the PS4 Slim. Apparently Eurogamer like confirmed it. They got video and photos of all that. But I look at it and I'm just thinking to myself, it's not that slim. It's not that much smaller. Just looking at it. You know, I don't know the exact size comparison or whatever, but this doesn't look that small. And I look at the Xbox One S, and yeah, it's definitely smaller compared to the gargantuan titan of a console that was the original Xbox One, but it's, as far as I remember, it's still not that much smaller. In fact, I think it's a little bit bigger than the original. So I'm just wondering, is there a reason we're not seeing actual slim consoles? Like, let's go back 12 years ago to the PS2 Slim. That thing was absurdly small. Like, I'm not sure how they fit a console in there, to be honest. Like, if Paris told me the reason why he was so inspired to lose weight was because he kept looking at a PS2 Slim, I wouldn't be mad. I would understand that fully. And going back to the PS1 Slim, like, here's something absolutely honest, 100% real. Back in 2001, 2002, I would be walking over to my friend's house. We'd play a bunch of games. I'd carry my PlayStation. And this was a time where you could wear cargo pants without people nearby questioning your life decisions. I would put the PS1 Slim in my cargo pants. It was that small. And I don't even think that they couldn't do it now, because you look at something like the Alienware Steam Machine. I know Danny had one. That thing its CPU and GPU are two separate parts. It has fans for each of them. It's modular. It's all that stuff. And it's still half the size of the PS4. Half. So I just look at these new slim consoles and I'm like, is it really about being slim or is it just straight up about cutting costs? Like, I know it's always been about cutting costs to a certain extent, but they're not at least, they're at the very least, they used to wow me with great hardware, and I'm just not getting that feeling anymore. I'm just not really enthused about either of the slim consoles right now. And maybe that's because we know there's going to be upgraded, more powerful consoles along the way, but these ones, I'm just not impressed. Let me know what you guys think about this. Am I being too nitpicky or whatever the case may be? Peace. Great hearing the podcast. I really love it. You guys keep doing y'all.
I mean, for the PS4, it is slimmer from a head-on perspective. It's not as bulky, but you also have to take into account cooling for the CPU and the GPU. But, you know, for the Xbox One, it is much smaller, and you don't have to deal with a 5-pound power brick outside of the console to take up space and heat up and have an issue, because I know that was the major issue with the original one. Mm-hmm. And when you go back even further to the days of PS1 and 2, yeah, the CD-ROM and internal memory was what drove the game. You didn't have to worry about storage because it wasn't even a consideration back then. And then you look at things like the Wii U, much smaller profile, but at the end of the day, you're not getting a lot from the technical side. So you're not getting those high-res type opportunities to do things. So yeah, you're getting more. So you need a bigger box to handle those things. You're not going to get you're not going to get 4K gaming from something the size of an iPhone sitting next to your TV. Now, some people may argue because the Nvidia Shield provides 4K gaming, but you know, you don't get the CD-ROM or the Blu-ray drive, and you don't get a lot more storage. You get, you know, like, you know, 500 gigs worth of storage. So there's some drawbacks either way. And at the end of the day, you want more, you don't want less. So I don't know. Paris may have a differing opinion on this, but that's how I feel.
He also gave you a shout out, Paris.
No, I know. I appreciate that. It's like Pete just said at the jump. I mean, it comes down to cooling. I mean, we're in an age now. It's not like the original PlayStation 4 is a big console. You know, look, the Xbox One, that original one, that was a freaking microwave. So it needed to come down in size a little bit. You know what I mean? And if you look at it, the Xbox One S is bigger than the OG PlayStation 4. You know, so it's not like it's this tiny thing either. But does it look good? Is it quiet? You know, it's about the cooling. It's about making these things more consumer accessible. You know, I guess is what the word I'm trying to look for. It's not so much back like he was referencing back to the PlayStation 2 days, PlayStation 1 days, where you truly had these teeny tiny consoles, but they also weren't generating the heat that these current consoles are now. You know what I mean? Doesn't bother me. It doesn't need to be a slim and be this teeny tiny thing that sits under my television anymore. And like we said last week, as far as the PlayStation, the new PlayStation 4 goes, they're just trying to make this thing as cheap as possible to cut down costs, you know, to make it the cheapest console this holiday. That's what it comes down to. Microsoft did something similar, but they also added features, obviously, with the 4K stuff. So that's a different story on its own. But now, I think the days of making these things as small as possible are gone. They're going to make them as efficient as possible and as cheap as possible now, while also making sure that the cooling's in place so that you don't get the red ring of deaths anymore. That's what it's all about, in my opinion.
And that cargo shorts life decision comment had me rolling, by the way. Thank you for that.
Do you guys have any predictions with this PlayStation meeting? Because every week I've been reading random stuff online. It's like, huh. Do you guys have any predictions or no? Before we move on?
Besides what we already discussed, saying that, yeah, we're going to see, you know, obviously we're going to see the unveiling of the official boxes and everything of VR. You know, Paris is under the impression we're going to see the actual Neo that's going to be, and it's going to be released this season. I know there's been, you know, juxtaposing commentary on social media saying people are crazy thinking that we're going to see a full release of this year, but I wouldn't be surprised. Why not?
All right. I still think Rockstar's showing up. That's just me, but
I don't know. I think you're going to let you dream because it's a hardware technical display, not a software game. So I don't know, Danny. Read.
But that's the thing. Here's the thing, though, Pete. Why are they going to show a console without games? They need to show samples of this is the difference between the original PlayStation 4 and the Neo. Here are the games. Boom. And just show it. Why not?
Titanfall 2 in 4K. Right. Titanfall 2 in 4K.
Okay.
Comes out around the same time, right?
Well, it is true. It is true. Paris, you want to say anything? No?
Well, it's what Pete just said. And I think that's going to be, if I had to make some guesses on what we'll see on the 7th, they're going to obviously show a first party lineup of stuff in on the Neo and show you the difference. Like I truly think we'll see Naughty Dog on stage showing Uncharted 4 running on the Neo, you know, with it being upgraded. I think we'll see The Last Guardian on the Neo, you know, with that's a game coming out. You'll 100% see Gran Turismo Sport because that'll probably be a showcase game to show off on the Neo. I think they'll bring third party up. So kind of like what Pete was saying, don't be shocked if you see Respawn on stage showing off Titanfall 2 running on the Neo and showing the difference of what it would look like on the Neo versus the PlayStation 4.
Destiny.
Well, wow. I guess if you just want to finish it for me, go ahead. I love how you ask people questions and then you answer them. That's
people love their interruptions. They love it.
Actually, they don't. But I don't. They anyways. Do. See, you choked me out, interrupted me. But of course. I think you'll see Activision on stage, probably showing off Call of Duty and Destiny. Why not? You know? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. They're going to sell the visual fidelity of what you're going to see with games running on Neo versus what you'll see on PlayStation 4. But then at the same time, I think they're also going to say, hey, and, you know, and I know we got other messages about this too, but they're also going to say, look, if you're still on a 1080p television and you're not going to 4K, then here's some of the advantages the Neo is going to give to you as well. You know, and then at the same time, they're going to say, look, if you don't want to spend the $399 on the Neo, here's our old PlayStation 4 at $250. You know, we're giving you the value on the low end, but we're also giving you the value on the high end as well. I think that's the approach they'll take on September 7th.
All right. And Kian is back, so let's play the voicemail right now.
Hey, what's up, Gamer Tag Radio? How are you guys doing? This is Kian calling you guys from Baltimore. Just had two quick questions for you guys. One pertaining to Sony. Now, we know that Sony, they don't necessarily have the best track record when it comes to actually backing their products. You know, we know that the PSP didn't do so well over here in the States. Overseas, it did a lot better, but they didn't really stick with it long term, as well as the PlayStation Vita. They didn't stick with that too long either. Do you think that Sony will stick with this VR headset, the PlayStation VR, for the long haul? Because it seems like when things start kind of showing small signs of not taking off like they were expecting, they really just pull out, you know, almost immediately. So that's my question to you guys. Do you think that Sony is in this VR headspace, no pun intended, for the long haul? And the second question I wanted to ask you guys is, as far as digital games go, do you think that it should get to the point where after a game is so many years old that the price should automatically drop? Because I don't think that a game like 2K15 should still be $60 to buy digitally when you can go to the store and buy it for $20. I think that if they want this digital future to really stick, they really need to regulate that a little better, drop the prices, you know, pertaining to the time and, you know, the popularity of it. Just wanted to ask you guys those questions. Sorry for the long message, but I appreciate you guys greatly. Love the show. Continue to love it. And with that being said, you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, so you asked about game price dropping in the future. Like, for example, like, let's say NBA 2K15, still the same, 16, whatever. a couple months from now, still the same price, not going down. And I think the reason is because the game is still popular and companies are still want to make that money. But also you asked about PlayStation. Your thoughts, guys. What do you guys think?
Well, no, he just said PlayStation VR. If it's not a success, will Sony abandon it? Well, if we just go by their track record, yes. I mean, it's really that simple. We can't predict the future, so we don't know what they'll do with PlayStation VR if it isn't as successful as they want it to be. I think it really just comes down to, as a whole, how successful VR will be moving forward, and that'll probably tell the tale on what Sony will do. I don't think, like, let's say if Oculus and Vive and whatever Microsoft does with Scorpio is a hit, but PlayStation VR isn't the huge success as well, they'll probably at least come out with a second version of it before they would abandon it, in my opinion. I mean, again, just look at what they've done on the portable side with PSP and then moving into Vita. They didn't give up on PSP because it wasn't selling the way they wanted it to. They iterated on it and made Vita, and then, you know, here we are today with what it is, you know, with rumors of them may not necessarily giving up on it still. So to answer his question, I would just say, look at what Sony's done in the past to try and predict what they'll potentially do in the future. So we'll see with VR. And I've said a million times, the key to VR is Neo. That's why I think Neo is coming out this year now, because it's tied to VR, because that's going to be the thing that's going to push VR 2-3 years from now.
Just remember this, PlayStation Move. Just remember that. They were pushing that big time back in the days.
Well, think about this. They're pushing Move in with VR. You know, those accessories aren't dead because you're going to use them with VR now.
And true.
And by the way, going back to his, you know, should digital games fetch full price? Steam sale? You know, it's you don't really pay full price after a period of time, especially, you know, digital. Steam sale is perfect opportunity for that. Then you've got, you know, games for Windows, you're getting free games about a year after launch, and then PS4 Plus, you know, PS Plus as well, they do that same thing where you're getting free games. So it's, you're not always paying full price, maybe for those niche games or those, if you're looking for something in specific, but for the most part, you don't see the hard price after a while. It usually drops off after a while.
All right. I'm going to play the last of voicemail here. This is from Nick.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Nick again from Madison, Wisconsin. I just wanted to, clear up on my first message. I don't think I really got through to what I wanted to. I was a little nervous, first time caller. Anyway, don't want to make this too long. Basically, I was just wondering what you guys think of us gamers that want to upgrade to the PS4 Neo or Xbox Scorpio. I have Xbox One and a PS4 and a PC, and all my monitors, TVs, 1080p. And I'm wondering if you guys think it's worth it for us gamers with only 1080p. To still upgrade to the console just based on it having a better GPU, CPU, higher clock speeds and all that. Because, you know, there's games that I've played where the performance is lacking, you know, games like Just Cause 3 and Fallout 4 where the frame rate was just dipping and, it didn't run smooth. It didn't look as good as it did on PC. And I'm just wondering for us gamers that they're looking to upgrade this on 1080p, when it still be worth it, just a matter of fact that you might be able to hit 60 or just run better, and maybe the developers can put in some better effects, like lighting, shadows, and stuff like that. Wondering what you guys think about that, just for 1080p gaming. Would it be worth it to upgrade to the PS4 Neo or the Xbox Scorpio? Thanks for everything you do. Peace.
Well, like I said, I just answered it already. I mean, you know, the thing that they're going to say for people that aren't going to a 4K television that's going to be on 1080p, you know, they'll probably try and show off, you know, the better lighting. Potentially there might be a better frame rate. You know, they have to sell it that if you're still on 1080p, that there's going to be value in getting a Scorpio or getting a Neo, right? So mm-hmm. it there has to be incentives outside of just the resolution, visual fidelity of it. Like I said, the lighting, potential frame rate, things like that. My worry is, and like I said last week, any PlayStation game you get after October and any Xbox One game you get in holiday 2017, if you truly want to see the advantages of it, you better get it on the next console, because the old consoles aren't going to take advantage of those things and they're going to look visually inferior. I just think that's a fact. You know what I mean? They're not going to force you to go buy those new consoles because the games will work on the old ones. But like God of War, for example, I don't care what Sony said at E3. That was freaking Neo. You can't tell me, you cannot tell me what we saw at God of War at E3 that could run on a PlayStation 4 and look like that. No way. No freaking way. That was Neo. There's no way it'll look like that. You know, when people I know like Gears of War 4, we've seen some of the 4K stuff with that. There's no way it's going to look that good on an original Xbox One. It just won't. You know what I mean? So if you want to take advantage of some of these newer things, it's you need the new console. And I'm saying they're not, like I said, they're not going to force you to go get it, but you're kind of going to have to go get it. If you're that hardcore into gaming and the way it looks matters that much to you, if the frame rate matters that much to you, you're probably going to have to go get one of the new consoles, whether you're on a 4K television or not. But again, the marketing, the way they're promoting this now, like Microsoft said at E3, no one gets left behind. So if you can't afford to go get a Scorpio holiday 2017, you're not being left behind. Crackdown 3, Halo 6, all that stuff will still play on your Xbox One. Just don't expect it to look as good, because it won't. And that's just a fact.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to GamertagRadio.com.
Pete's not allowed to say nothing. He's just nothing.
No, he's not allowed. Pete, you want to say something, or you're not allowed?
No, we've covered this, you know, ad nauseum, I think, over the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, if unless it means that much to you, and unless you have a plan to buy a 4K TV, stick with the existing stuff, because you're not going to get any of the technical advantages of getting to the newer consoles. Save your money and maybe save that money to buy a newer TV, and then later on, and also give these new consoles a chance to breathe and marinate in the system. Who knows? Maybe we get the next Red Ring of Death on the next box, because, you know, on the Xbox Neo or whatever, the Neo or the Xbox Scorpio, because, you know, it's so new, right? So that's all.
I hope not.
Can't say never. Never say never. So
true. This episode has been all about saving your money. So there you go. Save your money.
Well, real quick before we go, because it just popped up right now. CD Projekt Red, they just released their financials. They're now worth over $1 billion as a company.
Wow.
Again, what you're just saying, to me, anyways, my opinion, Witcher 3 is still the best game of this generation, right? And obviously the sales have shown it. This is what happens when a developer puts out a quality game and they go all out, and it, for the most part, works properly day one, and the word of mouth keeps it freaking going, man. It keeps it going. That game came out over a year ago, and people still buzz about it. People still talk about it. The Gwent stuff's coming out. You know, the fact that Witcher 3 was such a success, they're now able to put out this standalone Gwent game, a.k.a. they're going to keep on making money. The money train ain't stopping. You know what I mean? And this is based off of a game that came out over a year ago. That's the potential when you do take a risk and you do something ambitious and you invest in it and you make sure it works properly, it's going to succeed. And I hope we see more things like this moving forward. I really do.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too. They took a very long time to work on this game.
It's not surprising, though. They've done that with every single one of their titles. It's always a 5 to 7 year project to get, you know, no pun intended there with the name, but it's always a 5 to 7 year project. We're still waiting for 2099. You know what I mean? We're still waiting for Cyberpunk, was it 2077? So
yeah, but that's the point, Pete. You now, I just threw my coin purse at it. I don't even know what it looked like yet. You already got my money. I'm good.
Because
they've proven to me that they ain't afraid to delay a game to get it right. You know what I mean? They've proven to me that even with The Witcher 3, things were broken, they were on it, man. Patches. They were fixing all the little bugs along the way, and they kept the community engaged with what they were doing. They gave away free DLC. Those expansion, like, they're one of the rare cases that people that blind bought their expansion, you know, their expansion pack DLC was worth every freaking penny that you paid, because those DLCs were amazing. And if anything, they were better than the original game. That's how good they were.
You know, we're talking 30 additional hours of gameplay for 15, 20 bucks. You don't get that very often. Hell, you're talking 30 hours of game. You don't get that from a lot of games out now that you're paying a full $60 for. Not even, that's... Whew.
And that's just one expansion.
Yeah. No, it was two.
It's 15 hours each?
10 and 15, I believe. It was 15 and 15, or you paid $25 and you got both. But it was, one was 15 hours, the other was 30. So you got, in all actuality, you actually got about 40 to 50 hours of gameplay.
Yeah. You got another game completely.
Yeah.
If you add it up just by buying that deal.
For half the price of a full game.
which, by the way, and I'll shut up about fanboying over CD Projekt Red. If Sony is smart, they're up there on stage September 7th showing off that Witcher 3 Game of the Year edition on Neo.
That sounds good, though. That sounds really good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Go over there, listen to our past episodes. And yes, share it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Just share it.
Oh, I have one more thing to say. I apologize. Wow. I have one more
thing
to say.
Thank you for interrupting me, but go ahead.
Hey, well, welcome to my life. I'll just say real quick, and I'll be more detailed in a future episode. I just want to thank Logitech. They invited me to an event that I can't talk fully about yet, but one thing I can talk about is I have the Logitech, their new pro gaming mouse, which retails for $70. This thing is freaking fire, dude. It is one of the best gaming mice that I've ever picked up, and I'll talk about it more along with some other stuff on a future episode, but I just want to put that out there too, and just thank you, Logitech, for inviting me to the event.
All right, so let me continue. Well, thank you, Paris. Head over. All right, you already know about going to the website. All right, you can also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR, or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Now, Pete, you see how he got thrown off when I interrupted him? Mm-hmm. Now he knows what it feels like. You get flummoxed. You don't know what to say after somebody. Now you know.
Well, thank you, Paris. It helps a lot. Are you ready for Call of Duty XP?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'm going to go to the stoop thing on Sunday. I don't know. I'm still debating.
You still debating?
All right. I'm still debating.
Well, Snoop and Wiz Khalifa are performing, for those that don't know.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm 42-year-old from St. Petersburg, Florida. I don't know if
There you go. No, but we're planning to post a lot of content from there. Just stay tuned. And we're going to have a lot of cool stuff. And then after that, a couple of days after that, it's a PlayStation press conference about Neo and who knows what other stuff. I think they might announce also Vita. That's the rumor, too. A new Vita. I don't know why. I hope not. It's like a waste of money, but go for it, man. Do your thing, Sony. And, man, when is this Nintendo thing? Is it going to happen this month coming up?
Rumor. Well, Reggie talked about it a little bit, and I know we're ending the show, so I guess we won't get too in depth. But I mean, he's openly talked about the NX, so I would imagine it's got to be dropping soon, right?
Yeah, I mean, what they said, very quick.
Not to mention, I'm sorry, I know we're ending the show, but I don't know. You saw Emily Rogers. You saw the rumor that she put out that it has a 6.2-inch multi-touch screen that at 720p.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rumor she put out. You know, she tweets all that stuff, and she, you know, she fully discloses, look, this is rumor. I ain't saying it's fact. This is just what she's heard. But she heard dev kits right now is a 6.2-inch multi-touch screen, and it's at 720p. That's one of the rumors she's heard. So, look, I'm very interested to see what this NX is going to be. And I know I got some angry email Oh, by the way, I have to. I have to address his email. We can't end this because I have to talk trash. Hold on. Where is it at? Okay, I have to do this one. I'm sorry. His name is Aaron. I think that's how you say it, right. Erron. He says, "Hey guys, I'm a longtime listener and have a question for Paris. I've been playing Destiny since year one. I've been playing Destiny since year one. Paris has been on my friends list since then, and I've even jumped into party chat with him and Khalif a few times. But whenever he's online and I send him a message or an invite to play some Iron Banner or something, I get no response. What gives, Paris? Did I kick your puppy in a previous life? Anyway, keep up the good work, and I wish you nothing but the best. P.S. Danny, take care of my boy. Okay, I won't read that.
My cousin.
Okay. Yeah. And then is his... I'm saying this because this comes in. His PlayStation Network ID is X. It's X Crossface with a big giant X on the front of it. And if you've been listening to the show, what has been my golden rule about X's? I don't respond to people with X's in their gamertag. I'm just kidding in your case because I do remember during Iron Banner, you did hit me up a couple times. And literally, like, even Pete can tell this. I swear people hit me up the second I'm about to get offline. And then... you know, and then it looks like I'm ignoring them. So I do apologize for that. Matter of fact, I was on PlayStation Network last night and I saw you in a party and I almost came in there talking trash. And I was like, wait, I might scare the other two people, so I'm not going to do that. And you were doing Trials of Osiris and I didn't want to mess with you because I know that's intense. But hit me up, man. We'll for sure play. I need a third for Trials of Osiris anyways because my son and I are practicing for that right now. So look, hit me up. Anybody can hit me up. If you want to raid when Iron Banner comes, not Iron Banner, but when Rise of Iron comes out and do Trials of Osiris, PSN ID is Vicious696. I promise you, I won't ignore you unless you got like three X's in your gamertag.
and numbers. No numbers.
Yeah, and numbers too. No, I'm kidding.
But you have numbers on yours. What the hell?
Well, hey, 4-3, but that's standard.
That's us.
And yes, by the way,
X Vicious 696 X. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.